This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. Unlike physical diseases, there's no cut-and-dry test for depression. Doctors often interview and observe patients when determining if he or she is depressed, but that can be subjective and some people may go undiagnosed. Researchers at UAB are trying to change that by developing a blood test that can measure the risk of becoming depressed. WBHM's Amy Stiftel-Sedlis reports.
A few years ago, Beth Siebels couldn't sleep for more than 2 hours. And then
I would wake up with electrical shock, electrical surges coming through my arms, and it would send me sitting straight up. It was like I'd been struck by lightning.
Beth suffered from anxiety and depression for over 30 years, but never anything like this. Simple tasks like organizing a closet became extremely overwhelming.
I was dying inside.
Throughout her life, Beth has seen many counselors, psychiatrists, and has tried numerous different drugs.
Zoloft, Prozac, Lexapro.
Even magnetic brain stimulation. But this time, nothing was helping. Beth was feeling suicidal for the first time.
You believe that it's going to be this way forever, and it causes such a hopelessness that you will never get your life back again the way you knew it before, and you will never be that person you knew you were created to be.
Luckily, Beth says she found a psychiatrist who could help her, Dr. Richard Shelton. Dr. Shelton heads the newly formed Mood Disorders Research Center at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. With a new medication regime, within a few weeks, Beth's symptoms significantly improved. But now, Beth worries about her family. She can't help but wonder if her 3 grown children and 9 grandchildren will become depressed too. Dr. Shelton says that's common among patients. Right now, he's working to identify this risk, even years before a person becomes depressed.
The work that we're doing in the lab here is a blood test that we hope will ultimately help us to develop a way of detecting who's going to become depressed, and of people who are going to become depressed, who's likely to be suicidal in the future.
He says that early detection can save lives.
Once people are sick, it's often hard to get them well again, and that's true in cancer, that's true in depression, that's true for suicide.
There's actually a blood test like this already, but it's only able to separate someone who's currently depressed from non-depressed. For Shelton, that's not enough. His plan, to refine and perfect the perfect blood test. He says it's achievable. The key, predictive analytics. He compares it to typing into Google search and Google giving you back the answers.
Folks are probably familiar with this. This is like the BRCA gene for breast cancer.
But depression is much more complicated, involving thousands of tiny RNA sequences known as microRNAs, crucial players in gene expression and protein production.
There are literally thousands of these microRNAs that function kind of like the switches in the cell that turn things on and turn things off. The important thing from our standpoint is the fact that microRNAs are very sensitive to environmental effects.
Shelton stresses that environmental events can drastically impact the amount of microRNAs produced, inducing permanent changes in cells.
And particularly with regard to depression, that may actually help us to understand how it is that environmental events, like, for example, early childhood abuse or recent stress, can determine whether people are going to be vulnerable to developing an illness.
The ultimate goal? A profile of the smallest number of these microRNAs that can be extracted from blood, creating a clear indicator for who has potential to become depressed later in life. While common in other fields, this has never been done for any mental health condition. As for Beth, she says life is mostly back to normal, and hearing about the new testing possibilities means she's less worried about her family's mental health.
I believe there are a lot of ways that they can cut off this illness. It gives me so much hope for the future.
But this future's not here yet. Shelton says, depending on funding, developing the depression test could take a while, maybe up to 30 years. For WBHM, I'm Amy Stiftel-Sedlis.